Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to be with you. The cold is upon us, as it seems. I waited as long as we could to turn on the heater, but I broke down yesterday. Our floors were just so ice cold, I even fighted putting socks on. But we finally broke down and put it in, and of course we needed new furnace filters as soon as we turned it on. So the chores add up as the winter comes along. I'm so thankful to be with you this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity to come and to preach God's word. I'm thankful for your attendance here, if you're visiting. I'm not the normally scheduled preacher, but my name is Josh as well. And both Josh and my parents are good friends, and I'm actually named after Josh. So she loved those three boys so much, she had three of her own. So I'm Joshua David, and my middle brother is Nathaniel as well. So the connection is obvious. This morning I wanted to talk about our walk with God. You know, each one of us have probably heard or used this phrase, but what exactly does it mean to walk with God? You know, throughout the Bible, the terms walk or walking are more commonly used in reference to one's manner of life, or rather our conduct in life. We are told in the Bible so many times that we should walk in love. We are told to walk in wisdom, to walk circumspectly. How we walk and how we are living our life goes hand in hand. We know by reading in the Bible that there is a course we can walk of righteousness and an unrighteous way that we could walk in this life. Today I wanted to look at a few men in the Bible that says that they truly walked with God. And I think by looking at their examples, we can help our own walk here on earth. Now, one of those men that I want to look at was the man Enoch. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. Now, there are only a handful of verses in the Bible that mention Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5, we read of the genealogy after Adam. And in three of the verses, it briefly mentions Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, it says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Enoch provides for us a standout example of one's relationship with God, a relationship that lasted far longer than any of our lifetimes. There was obviously a harmony and a relationship between Enoch and God. And it begs the question, can we ourselves strive to have a similar relationship with God? Now, of those few verses that speak of Enoch is also again mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews 11, it's more commonly known as the Hall of Faith. We have the great list of men and women that are commended for their faith and obedience to God. And Enoch was one of those who were mentioned. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. The faith of Enoch was so great that God decided to take him away. But more important was that he had testimony that he pleased God. So naturally, if we ask ourselves today, how can we know if we ourselves are walking with God? I think we can start to answer that question by looking at Enoch's life and through his faith and his example of how he chose to please God. Unfortunately today, it seems that we live in a culture where people are only out to please themselves. I think it's such seen in the me-centered advertising with commercials and the consumer mentality of, you know, you deserve this. Yeah. The emphasis is on what we deserve or how we can make ourselves happy. It is a culture where an ever-increasing goal to please self. But as we read in Hebrews 11, it said that Enoch chose to please God. And shouldn't we be asking that question ourselves more today? What about pleasing God? Shouldn't we all be putting our emphasis upon pleasing God rather than self? There's little we know of Enoch and how exactly he walked with God, but I think we can conclude that Enoch decided in his heart that pleasing God was much more important to him than pleasing himself.
Amen.
Enoch chose to put his wants second to God. So in order for us to be pleasing like Enoch, it first takes not walking in a way that we ourselves might think is best. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, Paul is encouraging the Christians in Rome to not to go back to their former ways. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Too many today want to walk according to how their heart feels or what makes them happy. We talk about this constantly warning each other about the danger of living one's life pursuant to what pleases them in the now. But the Bible tells us we cannot rely on our walk and conduct in this life to be determined by what our flesh desires. When we each became Christians, we were called to walk according to the Spirit, putting ourselves second to what God desires for us. In Galatians 5, Paul again tells the Christians in Galatia that they should be walking in a certain way. He says in Galatians 5, verse 16 through 17, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Our spirit and our flesh are contrary to one another. And we know this, but how many times do we see sin coming in our lives, and our spirit knows what we should be doing, and we know we should be avoiding it, but then that other voice in our mind comes in and says, "It's okay. You can give in just this one time." The Bible tells us that we should avoid that voice in our head that tries to convince us that the sin will be all right just this time. We cannot give in to everything that we wish. We cannot do everything that our own desires want us to do, especially if we want to be walking with God. If you'd like to turn into Colossians, in Paul's letter to the church of Colossae, we find how we might truly walk worthy. In Colossians 1, verse 10, he says, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." I'd like to repeat that verse, but I'm just going to change one word, and I'd like to see if you notice which word I change. "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing yourself, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Did you guys catch which word I replaced? Unfortunately, too many want their relationship with God to be about pleasing themselves. But being a Christian is not about pleasing ourselves. If we are to be aligned with God, then it takes putting our own pleasures and wants last to that which is pleasing to God. Paul says, "In order that you may walk worthy of the Lord." Walking with God is an honor and a privilege. Do we treat our relation with Him as such? And in order to be walking worthy of the Lord, it takes fully pleasing Him, not ourselves. That means our wants become second to what God wants. That way we can truly walk with God. When pleasing Him becomes more important than what I think or want. Again, in Thessalonians, it mentions our walk to please God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1 through 2, It says, finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. It says that we have received how we ought to walk in order to please God. There is, we are so fortunate for us, written down what it takes to please God. For us, we have written down that which is inspired and direct from God. We know how we are to walk in order to please Him. We shouldn't have any excuse to try to please ourselves instead of God. We owe everything to Him. We have no excuse of putting our own wants ahead of His. In everything that we do, we must ask whether or not God is truly pleased or not. If we decide to stay up Saturday night for whatever reason, for a party, for a concert, whatever, it doesn't have to be sinful in nature, and then that next morning the alarm clock rings and you just had a rough night the night before, and I'm just not going to attend worship services in the morning. There's always going to be the evening services. Is that truly the kind of decisions that is pleasing to God? Are we pleasing God by making those kinds of decisions, or are we pleasing ourselves? What if we have sin in our life that we are not dealing with? Are we pleasing God by not stopping that sin, or are we pleasing ourselves just to be able to keep doing that small sin that we enjoy so much? In all major and minor decisions, it should be our priority to be pleasing to God rather than ourselves, putting ourselves second to God's will. There was a story I heard about Enoch. There was a small boy who was in Bible class at church, and his father came back to pick him up from class and bring him back for worship services. And he asked his small child, "So what did you learn in Bible class this morning?" And the boy replies, "We learned about Enoch." And the dad, not really sure who exactly Enoch was himself, says, "Oh, well, what did you learn about Enoch?" And the little boy says, "I learned that Enoch and God walked and walked and walked." The dad, hoping, there was a little bit more a moral up to the story, said, "Well, what else did you learn?" "Oh, I learned that Enoch and God, they walked for 300 years. They walked so far that eventually Enoch turned to God, and we're way closer to your place than mine, so why don't I just stay with you?" Enoch decided to put himself second to God for 300 years in order to walk with Him. And the question for ourselves, can we strive to be pleasing to Him and put our own selfish desires second for the small amount of time that we have here? I like to turn back to Genesis. There's another man that was said walked with God. If you like to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. It says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. I find it very interesting that only a few generations away from Enoch, another man is mentioned to be walking with God. You know, when we talk about Noah, there's usually talk of his utmost obedience to God. We commend Noah for doing everything that God commanded him in regards to building the ark. The Bible says that he was a just man, perfect in his generations. It is obvious why it was said that Noah walked with God. But what's even more impressive is the fact that Noah was the only one in that at that time in the world that was trying to do right before God. How difficult in that day would it have been to be all alone trying to do what's right. I certainly cannot imagine the pressure that Noah would have felt. Imagine the peer pressure that Noah probably had daily while he was building the ark. From his friends and maybe even his family of, oh, that's crazy old Noah building a giant boat for some rain that's going to come out of the air and flood the earth. Imagine the ridicule that he felt, the mocking. We probably haven't felt as alone as Noah felt. But I think it was obvious that Noah had decided to set himself apart from the rest of the world. Noah didn't care about what the world cared about. Noah truly walked with God. And we can certainly learn an important lesson from his example with our own walk with God. We can look at our own lives and ask if we are still stuck in this world and worried about others' opinions and trying to fit in, or we can, like Noah, decide to set ourselves apart from the rest of the world and walk with God. The Bible is explicit in warning us of the dangers of becoming entangled in this world. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul said, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and an acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, it is so easy to become conformed to this world. It is definitely the convenient and easy thing to do, to go with what popular opinion is. But to walk with God is a transformation of our own basic instincts, to block out that which is the easiest path of resistance, and to keep on that narrow path. Walking with God is a decision on each of our own parts to not become caught up in this world and its fleeting promises. That narrow path that we are to follow, that Jesus talks to us about, is one that we know few find. If we are following where the rest of the world is leading to, I don't think we will like where that path will lead us. Jesus said, "The broad way that many enter in leads to destruction." We cannot always follow what the world thinks is best for us. You know, I think each of us should ask ourselves, do we really want to be just as everyone else that is in the world? If we are Christians, then shouldn't we be desiring something different? Shouldn't we be desiring something more than what this world has to offer? If you'd like to turn in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul in his letter to those in Ephesus, he mentions their walk. And so many times in his letter to Ephesus, how they should be walking. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." To walk with God means when we become a Christian, we are to become dead to our old selves. Our previous life that was filled with giving in to our lusts and desires, we then turn to walk with God, means that we are to become set apart for him, no longer interested in that which the world has to offer us, not wanting to be just as the others, like Paul says. James himself knew that setting yourself apart from the world was necessary. In James chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We should realize that we cannot walk with God and be friends with the world. The world should know that we are different. In fact, Jesus himself told us what happens when we no longer strive to be in and of this world. He told us what we should expect when we no longer live like the rest of the world lives. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 18 through 19, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Jesus was the opposite of what many in the world wanted him to be. And in result of it, many hated him. When we decide to walk with God, it's not going to be met with praise from most of the world. We need to be okay with that. We cannot think that everything is going to be easy when we are trying to be Christ-like. And we should all expect that hate and ridicule that will come with it. And if absolutely no resistance ever comes our way, we must honestly look at our walk and how we are living our life. We cannot try to be friends with the world and God. We must, like Noah, and just like Jesus, we must set ourselves apart from the world. Just like Enoch and Noah walked with God, for us today, we can aim to live our lives as closely to what God expects from us. Like Enoch, who it says in Hebrews 11 that he pleased God, it took putting himself second to God. It was no longer what pleased him, but what pleased God. And also, we looked at Noah, who even though the whole world had churned evil, he found grace in God's sight. We ourselves must set ourselves apart from the world in order to walk with him, deciding not to be conformed to this world, but truly transformed. And lastly, walking with God is a decision on each of our parts. It is a resolve to align each of our paths with God. You know, when I first created this point, I used the word decide instead of resolve. But I think resolve has so much more meaning. It's more than just a decision. When we resolve to do something, it involves much more of an action on our part. It takes more considerate thought when we resolve to do something. But before we ever decide that we want to be Christians that walk with God, it first takes that commitment to be in unison with him. In the Old Testament, in Amos, the prophet writer wrote this question: "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" Now, I thought this question so applicable to this lesson. Of course, it's a rhetorical question. But if we are to be walking with God, shouldn't both parties be on the same page? You know, I think the question is easily answered when we think of it with walks we go on today. My wife loves to go on walks, when it's nice outside. And I normally oblige her. Now, if we decided to go on our walk, would it make sense if I started to walk, you know, the opposite direction of which she was walking? Or I decided to take a left whenever she was kept going straight? Or what if, I was a little embarrassed to be seen with her, so I decided to walk on the other side of the road? If we decide to walk with God in that way, can two truly walk together unless they are agreed? Our walk with God needs to be in harmony. Too many times we treat our walk with God like it is just a normal walk, like we're just walking down the road, or we're too embarrassed to be seen with him, or we're too embarrassed to be walking exactly the path that he set for us. We cannot choose which way we walk. Can we say that we are trying to walk with God, but not fully be in agreement with Him? Or we are fully not obeying His word. Are we fully in agreement and walking with Him truly? We must be in unison with God in order to truly be walking with Him. We can know if we are in unison with God by reading what He blessed us with. And we should truly treat God's word as such. It is a blessing. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 through 6, it tells us how we could know that we are in Him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 through 6, it says, "But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked." We can be in alignment and in unison with God's path for us by keeping His word. We, of course, have that perfect earthly example when Jesus came to this earth. We have the greatest person ever to follow and to walk as. And so if we are wanting to abide with Him, then we are to walk just as He walked and to keep His word. It is our own test to know if we are truly in Him. And so if we know we are abiding in Him, then our walk with God truly can be in unison. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10, Paul says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are told that we are all God's workmanship. How awesome to think of that. And that our ways were prepared for us beforehand, that we should walk in them. God created us in order for us to walk with and to follow Him. Walking with God is a unison that makes all others pale in comparison. And our walk with God is a relationship that we should all strive to work on and maintain. God had prepared the way that we'd walk beforehand. We should find comfort in knowing that God is waiting for us to commit to Him and to walk with Him. God is always ready for us to join Him in obedience. And He wants us truly to walk with Him through our obedience. But that first takes that resolve on our part to commit to Him. So just like Enoch and Noah walked with God, for us today, we can aim to live our lives as closely to what God expects from us. Like Enoch, who truly pleased God, it took putting himself second. It was no longer what pleased him, but what pleased God. And Noah, who even though the whole world had turned from God, he found grace in his sight. We must also set ourselves apart from the world in order to walk with God. A decision not to be conformed to this world. And lastly, walking with God is the decision on each of our parts. It is a resolve to align each of our paths with God, being in agreement with Him and His word. I'd like to go back to Amos chapter 3. The question, can two walk together unless they are agreed? So if we ask this question in regards to our own walk with God, this question is not only rhetorical, but just plain impossible. If it is our desire to walk with God, then we first must be in agreement with what God expects from us. And to begin that walk with God, it starts with the decision to become a child of His by being baptized for the remission of our sins, rising to walk a new man, dead to our life of sin and no longer pleasing ourselves, wanting to be set apart from the world and its temptations, ready to walk with God faithfully for the rest of our life. When we take that first step, then we can, in God's sight, be united and be ready to walk with Him. Then we can truly begin to walk by faith and not by sight. And if we have already become a child of God, of His, and we know that we are in sin, we know that that sin separates us from God. If we are a sin, how can we be walking with God in agreement? We should ask Him for forgiveness and repent of those things in order to walk united with Him again. You know, walking with God is not just our conduct in life, but it is a relationship that each of us can have with Him, that we can continue to grow and deepen. Just imagine how close an Enoch and God must have been after walking together for 300 years. We have been blessed to be able to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Are we treating our own relationship with Him as such? This morning, we can ask ourselves, are we striving to walk with Him each and every day of our lives? If not, then now's the time that we can make things right with Him. Whether that is through repentance or baptism, our journey and walk with God can continue or start this morning. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.